you.
Good evening and welcome to the Ill-Conceived Podcast. Today we are taking up the activity of coloring in coloring books. Today we are starting off. My name is Justin Hughes.
My name is Emma Catherine.
And my name is Lauren Hawley.
And I am coloring from the Enchanted Coloring Book, Magical Images to Make Your Own.
I am coloring from Disney Villains, 100 Images to Inspire Creativity.
And I've got Greek Mythology, a coloring book.
And today we decided that we were going to pick something even less conducive to an audio-only format than we had been doing previously. You literally cannot see what we are coloring.
Nope. Or
so
here.
What we are going to do is, as we color, we are going to describe in livid detail. Angry detail? In vivid detail.
There you go.
What we have. I am starting off with an elegant mermaid who is stretched out under the sea as colorful bands of zigzagged lines stretch behind her hair that
already?
Is flowing out. Well, they will be. I'm using my imagination here. I'm going to start with a nice two-tone orange and yellow combo. This orange and yellow combo is going to be pretty great here. I'm going to do the upward triangles in an orange and the downward triangles in a yellow.
I'm also coloring mermaids, but they are of Poseidon and Demeter in an undersea Atlantis as coral and fish are nearby. There's a couple of sea stars, too. Quite lovely. Oh, this mermaid is waving at the imaginary camera.
I got Randall from Monsters, Inc.
God damn it.
You guys are like, we're doing a mermaid.
Whole, but is it his whole body? Because it looks like just his head.
It's just his head. It's his head repeated over and over, so I'm just coloring in the head of Randall Boggs.
I mean, half the time that's the only thing you can see anyway.
Yeah, true. There's actually this really cute one in here where it's like him against the background.
So for all we know, that is his whole body.
No, he has a whole body. He
does. He's like a salamander.
But it's blending in with the page.
I get what you're going for.
Sure.
Can he do that? Can he selectively shade different parts of his body?
Yes, he can.
That was proven in the movie.
Which movie? At what point?
Because
I know there's one, I know there's a point
see,
in.
See? There's also Monsters University. In the, though,
in,
so you gotta specify.
In Monsters Inc. In Monsters Inc. He you know he kind of unshades. And it starts from his head or from his body or whatever. And we see that it kind of like, it doesn't happen all at once, right? It kind of like flows out from one central point.
Mm-hmm.
But do we see an example of him only shading like
yes.
a part of his body?
Because you know when Mike is doing the exercises, like the warm-ups with Sully,
uh-huh.
Randall's assistant is also doing those with him, but his are the different backdrops. And
sure.
he changes to each backdrop and one of them is split into two different things.
Okay.
I believe. If I'm wrong, please.
Yeah.
Let me know.
No. I think that's right.
I'm taking your word for it, Lauren, because I haven't seen that movie in such a long time. I love that movie.
It's pretty good. I've always been interested in the concept that they live in this society where the working class factory jobs are achieve celebrity status.
Yeah.
I've always found that to be kind of this intriguing socioeconomic situation where they are blue collar workers that at the same time are recognized in their community for the work that they do. And that's something that you know we don't see or acknowledge here in our human world. Now I had a pitch for Monsters Inc. 3.
I'd like to hear it. Go
hard. So yeah, it's the humans.
And there goes the creaking again.
The humans figure out they can harvest oil from monsters. So Monsters Inc. 3.
See, but the monsters don't kill people. To get their screams or laughs.
Sure. That would change in Monsters, Inc. 3.
Okay, you know they're supposed to be kids' movies, right?
Well, that
Justin,
would change.
Oh,
that would
no,
change.
We're not,
that
we're
would
not going
change
for your idea.
In
uh-uh.
Monsters, Inc. 3.
Disney, if you're listening to this,
are you,
do
are,
not go with his idea.
In the subject
Disney,
of,
if you're listening to this, I'd like to be an Imagineer.
Disney, if you're listening to this, please don't sue us for discussing
Monsters,
Inc.
Refreshing, ice-cold Disney Springs. Have you you guys are familiar with Die Hard?
You forget
right?
that we live in Florida.
You
they're not ice cold.
You guys know Die Hard, the Die Hard series. Have you
I've
seen
heard of it.
Die
I've
You've
heard
of it. Lauren, have you seen Die Hard?
I believe I've seen one of them.
So bear with me here on this tangent. This is
okay.
this is something very close to my heart. The Die Hard series, I think is pretty great,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's gone off the rails lately, and I'll explain to you why. So Die Hard 1 is the one
with Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah, all of them are
okay.
the one with Bruce Willis.
Well, you were mentioning like the franchise, and I was like, this is the franchise with Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah, it's the
okay.
Bruce Willis franchise that's not red.
Yeah.
So the first one is a thrilling tale of a blue collar cop who has come to visit his ex-wife, estranged ex-wife, on Christmas, and her workplace, Nakatomi Tower, as it gets taken over by terrorists, Hans Gruber and his minions. So it all takes place in a singular building. And that's kind of a cool concept. This entire action movie.
Well, it begins to fit the neoclassical rules of theater.
Yes, exactly. It's all in one passing of the sun, right? It all takes place in one location. And so it takes place in a singular tower, a singular building.
Mm-hmm.
Die Hard 2 is a very similar premise in that it's an airport this time. Instead of being just an office building,
okay.
it's now expanded a little bit into an airport. So a larger building. They go outside onto the runway for a short period of time. So the set kind of grew a little bit in the world of Die Hard, right? So it's not just Nakatomi Tower. Now it's the airport as well.
Sure.
Die Hard 3 is this one where they play this weird kind of like game with a terrorist of see what I'm going to blow up next. It's not the strongest of the first three Die Hards. But it takes place in all of New York, I want to say. So this one is expanded a little bit more. Now it's not just a tower or a airport. Now it's a whole city, but it's still growing just little by little, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then in Die Hard 4, this one takes place in California, largely in California. So now they've stretched off to now take place over a whole country.
Building airport city.
Yeah, it's a different state, but it's gotten bigger,
mm-hmm.
right? And so then Die Hard 5 happens. Die Hard 5 happens, and this one takes place in Russia. This is really great.
Country.
So now we've covered the whole world. Die Hard, the world of Die Hard has expanded to encompass the globe. It's now an intercontinental franchise. And so here's my pitch to whoever's making the next Die Hard movie. Die Hard. Where do we go in Die Hard and Die Hard 6? I think it's pretty obvious. What's bigger? What's the next step out from the Earth?
Mars.
At least space, right? At least space. So Die Hard.
Mars is not bigger than the Earth. Sorry. Yeah.
Die Hard 5.
It's bigger than Russia, though.
Die Hard 5 would have Bruce Willis going into space to stop space terrorists. But what do we go after that? We've already gone into space. So when we get to Die Hard 6. I think, or Die Hard 7? 6 was space, Die Hard 7, I think, this is my real pitch. This is where my pitch comes in, is Die Hard 7.
Oh boy, this should be good.
So, we've done space.
Okay.
The next frontier? Time.
Space is the final frontier.
Time?
So,
you'd have to do time.
Die
first.
Hard 7 features Bruce Willis.
Lauren's not having any of this.
With a guest star, Matt Smith, as the
oh,
doctor.
No. Bruce Willis goes back in time.
True. Yes.
Goes back in time to 1942.
With guest star Jodie Whittaker.
And he has to fight Hitler and stop Hitler. But in order to do that, he has to team up with his great-great-grandfather who fought in the war, who is played by Michael Cera. Storm the beaches
Why
of Normandy.
Michael
so Bruce
Sarah?
Willis's great-great-grandfather is Michael Cera. Because
Sarah?
The contrast between Bruce Willis and Michael Cera would be an unending bout of comedy in this action movie.
But
that
Die Hard is not a comedy. It's an action movie.
It's an action movie with funny moments.
with funny moments.
Yeah, and so that's what this would be. It wouldn't be. It wouldn't be this buddy cop. It would be. It would be a serious action movie, and at moments you would have Michael Cera being, Bruce Willis, I don't think we should do that. I mean, it's the best Michael Cera impression
I've got.
Dopey
from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Have you met the guy?
I have not,
if Michael Cera, if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, why?
Michael Cera, I apologize because I appreciate you. Evidently, Justin does not. If you break my colored pencils, I will murder
I
you.
I put them back in the case, and I don't think Michael Cera touched them. Yeah, because you were still addressing Michael Cera,
no,
so I'm off the hook.
No, I was not addressing Michael Cera. I was directly directing you. I can't talk right now.
Dressing? Okay. Dressing.
All right, so pitch me. So what's your Die Hard 8? What I haven't. What would be the next step?
I've not watched Die Hard.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Well, you listen to me talk. So you know, knowing what I've told you about Die Hard.
Is the fifth
dimension. Go into what would the plot of Die Hard 5 in the Die Hard 8 in the fifth dimension be?
Well, see, the Kree are coming out of the fifth dimension.
Sure,
no.
Sure.
And
no,
Die Hard
8,
now a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I mean,
let's be real. What won't be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
What won't be a part of Disney?
And Doctor Strange has to send them all back.
Walt Disney World, one of America's three corporations.
You're not wrong.
Definitely one of the largest.
Refreshing ice cold Disney. Oh, I did that. I made that joke already.
You did.
You did
we'll
Disney Spring.
We'll edit in post.
You can say refreshing ice cold Disney Paris.
we'll cut it out.
Paris.
We'll cut this out in post.
Disneyland Paris.
We're going to keep saying that. And we're not.
Let's
it's
not.
It's funny. It's the bit. It's the bit I'm doing.
It's the bit.
Oh, but we don't want them to know it's a bit, so we'll cut this out in post too.
It's getting a little
We're not cutting anything out in post, for the record, because this is way too funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Mike Wazowski. I'm still.
All right. So what are we
coloring?
So
the left half of the background of this ocean.
Let's tune in on Emma's coloring book here.
So
Emma.
I changed pictures. It's still Randall, but
still
this
Randall.
Is Randall. On a bunch of different really cool backgrounds.
Yeah, let me give it the PBS talk. Let me
did
see what you
finish
got.
The first one, or did you?
No,
just
I just I just moved on.
How could you?
Because I liked it, but I was like, so I moved on.
So this picture of Randall from Monsters Incorporated features a myriad of different backgrounds in a crisscross lined pattern across the outline of Randall's body. The first pattern is a bunch of M's, the Monsters Inc. logo with eyes in them, followed next by little suns or cells. They're kind of like microorganism sort of things. And then it goes down to now an inverted color version of the Monsters Inc. logo. Instead of being filled in white, it's filled in black. It's now filled in white. Then again, it's another one of the inverted versions of the sun slash microbial. But after that, it's where it starts to get a little bit interesting. We get a little Mike Wazowski. We've
Mike
got some,
Wazowski.
Just the head of Mike Wazowski, which is also the torso of Mike Wazowski, and a checker routed across the
it's
page.
It's also the eye of Mike Wazowski.
And the eye of Mike Wazowski. A checkerboard across the page, followed by, once again, we've got the Monsters, Inc. M's that are there again. Another Mike Wazowski, and then more M's. It begs the question why they chose to have the this little star amoeba pattern.
Why is Mike Wazowski there?
Up here. Because
he's Mike Wazowski.
But he is not friends with Randall.
No, he is not, but I think it's cool.
But they don't have Sully on it.
No, they don't. Well, you'd have to do the whole body of Sully, and that's not just
James P. Sullivan,
simple.
You mean?
James P. Sullivan, yeah. It's not something like very simple. Like with Mike, it's just like circle.
Here's a question that I have.
Eye.
This is something that bugs me in Monsters, Inc. that I want to get off my chest. So,
yeah.
On the board, what's Randall's last name? Randall.
I just saw it. It's in
Boggs.
Here. Boggs. There we go.
So Randall. So on the screen.
Yeah.
They've got the scare.
Yeah.
Oh, the all-time scare chart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They've got. Oh, and I'm not going to remember now that I'm talking about it. They've got Sullivan written out under Sully's picture, right next to Sully's picture, it says Sullivan or
but
Sully.
It
maybe
says
it's even
Randall
abbreviated.
Next to Randall.
But then it says Randall next to Randall's. My question is, shouldn't it say Boggs?
It should.
It. Everyone else is kind
of
listed by their last name.
Go by first name.
Do they? Well, then in that case, shouldn't it say James? Whichever one it goes by, one of the two is different than
the
rest.
I think it's whatever they call them at the workplace.
But that seems a bit weird.
He goes by Sully at
the
workplace.
Yes, but like, you know, my friend Bucko, you know, he's not going to have Bucko on his official, you know, write-up, you know.
If everyone liked him.
If I call one of my workers Shorty, like I'm not gonna write it Shorty on his paychecks, you know. Like I feel like if they've got this official scare record that they're going for, there should be some sort of consistent official record keeping.
Maybe it's he didn't want fame to interfere with his regular life, and he became somewhat famous in that job, so he started using his last name as his stage name.
That's an interesting perspective on it. I like how we're just delving so deep into this kids' movie. But here's the thing. Disney movies have so many levels to them.
They've got depth.
Top three levels.
Name three levels. Name three levels of depth in Monsters, Inc. You said they've got levels. Name three levels of depth.
You know how they
did you just say death or did you say
how
depth?
The number
depth.
Of that one room at whatever college it was or something that like half the animators attended. They hide the number of that room.
A-1-3-4.
Yeah, they always have those little
A-1
Easter eggs off. In there where they put like a bunch of different things.
They also hide
they
other
walking?
Disney characters in movies.
Yes. When they're walking through the doors, specifically in Monsters, Inc., when they're doing that whole montage where they're walking through the different doors running from Randall, there's one where they go into, like, Hawaii, and there's the shirts that they're wearing, the Hawaiian shirts that have the different Disney characters on them.
Cool.
Yeah,
I don't
remember which ones they are, but I remember they have different Disney characters on them.
I saw somebody point out that one of the doors that they open opens up and you see Elsa. That's what the claim was that this person was making online. But I watched that scene. I watched that bit. No, I don't think that's true. I think it was just a blonde-haired girl, and it was right after Frozen came out. Everyone was like, oh, blonde-haired girl, it must be Elsa.
Here's the thing. Monsters, Inc. came out,
early
2000s.
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to say 2003. I'm Googling it right now.
I think it might be 2002.
We're going to check. Monsters.
Also, Google, you're great too.
Thank you, Google, if you want to sponsor us. We were both
still
wrong.
Don't know if we can do that, but
Google.
Everyone's best
yep.
We were both wrong, by the way. It was 2001 where Monsters, Inc. came out.
I was closer.
When Monsters, Inc. came out. Yeah, you
I don't want to turn this into a competition, but I win.
What was that in the last episode about you being competitive?
Yeah, if you didn't watch the last episode, please go do that.
Watch the last
episode. Just
kidding. Episode.
You don't have to. It has no relevance whatsoever.
What if we? I think this should be a bit that I'm gonna address right.
Start this off the same way.
Nah.
But how do we start the other one?
I don't remember.
We literally introduced the podcast.
Yeah, we introduced the podcast.
Well, we didn't introduce
ourselves.
No, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
We introduced ourselves in this one. We just didn't introduce.
It was in like a PBS, BBC like documentary
if
style.
If you don't
BBC,
know what
I
you're
like
listening
BBC,
to.
BBC, you're also great.
BBC, you're also great. If you don't know
BBC, refreshing ice cold British broadcasting.
Oh my god.
If at this point you don't know what you're listening to, what are you doing? What are we
yeah,
like 20
there should
30
be a title
minutes
somewhere
in?
Around this.
This will be there will be a title, but like if you're listening to this and you don't know the point of it, why are you still listening?
The ill-conceived podcast. Why are they doing it?
Because literally we're no crazy. Reason.
Actually, it's just cuz we like hanging out.
I think the real issue.
What do you think the real issue is?
I think the real issue is that there are too many owls.
What? Please do explain your viewpoint on that.
I think there's too many owls.
Too many owls.
Owls are great
in the studio right
just
now. I agree.
Just. Like owls, just the number.
There are no owls.
There are no owls in the studio.
Actually,
then
there's three. We're night owls.
The
true.
Number of owls is too much.
Why?
Is too much? Is too high?
Because there should be less owls.
I disagree. Owls are great.
Owls are wonderful.
I'm not saying
two
they aren't.
One.
I'm saying that there's lots of them. And there should be
actually,
less.
No.
Some of them might be on the endangered species list.
I'm not saying kill the owls.
But there's too
I'm
many
just
of them.
Saying
I think
there's
not
too
enough
many
of them.
Owls, and that's the problem. I mean, that's it's
you
like.
Can't.
It's like, oh, you know, what's the problem with the world today? Oh,
tell me, have you ever heard an owl
overpopulation.
Outside your window?
Oh, it's a no,
have.
I haven't, but there's
have
too many owls.
Yeah,
in Jacksonville,
there
yeah.
is one. There's owls in Jacksonville. No, when I was growing up, I had this massive Chinese tallow tree outside my window. Unfortunately, just recently, it got
blown
killed.
Over by a hurricane.
No, it got killed. There was a massive fungus or something that wrapped around its trunk and very, very quickly destroyed it, and it was horrible. It's like the only fungus that can actually kill a Chinese tallow tree managed to get to it and killed it. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it was massive. This thing was massive, and every around fall or something like that, there would be this owl that made its nest up there, and I would hear it every single night around 2 a.m. and I hated
my
it.
Window. Where an owl would nest, and I used to fall asleep to the sound of that owl hooting.
Yeah, see.
But imagine if there were less of them.
I would be sad.
I would too.
No, I had a neighbor. This is unrelated to owls, but related to trees. I had a neighbor.
I love trees too.
Who had just a regular old boring tree in his front yard, and then Hurricane Charley blew so hard on that little tree that he had that it pulled the roots up. And it was a mid-sized tree, maybe like 8 feet tall. You know, not huge, but, you know, not a sapling anywhere. And it blew it so much that it kind of, like, pulled the roots out so that the tree was, like, at a 45-degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than fix it or remove it, what he did is he just filled in underneath the angle with dirt and sod and trimmed the tree to look like a bonsai. So now it was growing crooked, and it looked like a bonsai tree.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think that's one of the best things I'd ever seen. Like, the best how to fix a broken situation. It was really great.
Sounds like quite an interesting decoration to have in your yard.
Yeah, it was really dope.
Interesting landscaping choices.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Justin is still coloring the ocean in this picture.
Yeah, Justin has just stopped coloring at this point. He's just
he colored
like,
one stripe.
I'm gonna go on anecdotes. I'm not gonna worry about coloring.
Yeah, it's true. Here, I'll color again. I'm gonna use
this was my idea.
Black Sharpie. It's not that I wasn't.
Don't color with black Sharpie.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
That is my black Sharpie.
It actually wasn't.
It's right here.
Yeah,
okay,
this is my. I brought my own black Sharpie to the party. Name three.
Three
Name
what?
Three black Sharpies.
Fine tip, Sharpie pen, chisel point.
Perfect.
She's not wrong, people. Sharpie, if you want to sponsor us, let us know.
Clearly, I'm
Sharpie.
Very familiar with your product.
There's three types
of black ones. There's actually more than that, though. Because then there's like the double-ended one.
Sharpie.
And
more than three.
It's a great tagline for Sharpie.
Well, wasn't Sharpie the blonde Ashley Tisdale character from Sharpay?
That was Sharpay.
From High School Musical.
Gotta get your head in the game.
It's not a song she sung, but yes.
It's 5 o'clock.
That's Jimmy Buffett.
That is not a High School Musical song. What time is it? Summertime.
In front of the other.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
What movie is that?
It's High School Musical.
No.
That is not High School Musical.
It's
Romeo.
Christmas movie. That had
Romeo. Santa Claus is coming to town. In case you were wondering, sorry, it's Santa Claus is coming to town. And it's one story. It's the story of Santa Claus as he was a young, handsome Santa.
This young Kris Kringle.
Who met a snow wizard, an angry snow wizard, who never left his cave. And then he's like, look at me, I'm handsome. And the wizard's like, you are! I'll leave my cave now. And they went on an adventure talking about how to walk. Walking's great. Isn't this awesome? And they went to a town that hated toys. A town that hated toys. And then the toy town, the toy town had the miser. And he was mad at toys. No more toys, he said. And he took the toys from the kids. And Kris Kringle said, yes, toys. And he gave more toys to the kids. And the miser got mad. He said, I don't like toys. Oh, and he forgot for a second. And he's like, ooh, toys are fun. And then he remembered he was breaking his own rule. There's no toy rule. And
then you briefly visit the island of misfit toys.
No, that's a...
That's Rudolph.
All right.
The one that I had, they were all on the same tape with like Frosty the Snowman too.
That's fair.
So
I got beef.
You got beef? I was gonna ask a question, but okay.
I got beef.
I'll have chicken.
With
and I'll have the pork.
With Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
The story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Something just jumped right into my mind when you brought that up. So
I think the song is bad enough. I'll just kind of go. What's the moral of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Does there have
was
to be
that
a moral?
Is, so the story that they want you to believe is that it's not, you know, looks don't matter, right?
Yeah.
It's the actions.
Well,
right?
It's okay to be different.
It's okay to be different. Yeah. That's the story they want you to tell, but that's not what happens in the song. They don't accept him because he's different. It's not that he found his niche and now he fits in. They accept him because they used a person. Yeah, they used him.
That's true.
And because he was convenient to them,
okay,
he went on. And so you could make the claim.
They never said that Santa didn't like Rudolph.
You could make the claim that Santa wasn't complicit in this sort of bullying. I'll make the argument that a man who knows whether you're sleeping or awake and if you've been good or bad knew that Rudolph was being bullied and actively didn't intervene because he didn't think it was important. But he, in the movie, we get a more vivid picture of Santa Claus,
mm-hmm,
when Rudolph is born and Rudolph's father tries to cover up his nose and says, oh, Santa, please don't be ashamed of my disabled, glowing-nosed son. And Santa comes in and goes, yeah, as long as he covers it up, he should be fine. You know, it's this horrible, horrible Santa that we get in this movie, in this kids. We're teaching this to kids. So, kids, refreshing ice cold kids.
Snow.
Snow.
Speaking of, if we're gonna go on Santa, how long did it take before you guys realized that? Okay.
Say no more.
No. Nope,
you don't
I
know
won't.
Who's listening to this.
If there are kids listening, fucking stop.
Yeah, because Justin just cries. If you're a child and you're listening to this,
I'm gonna laugh when you go home and your kid's listening to this.
If my 4-year-old daughter and my 1-year-old son are listening to this,
there's
I'll be impressed.
Wrong. There's something wrong.
Harper and Ben, if you're listening, fucking stop. Turn it off. Jeez. Go to bed.
Yeah, no, it's almost 11 as we're recording this.
We're filming the
Harper
sound
and
waves.
Ben, darlings, please do go to bed.
Stop listening to podcasts.
It's
just bad practice in general.
Yeah, stop listening to podcasts and come see theater.
Yeah.
Any listeners out there that
you
are listening
couldn't
to
tell
us
we're
right
theater
now,
majors.
Stop listening to podcasts. Just don't listen to podcasts.
That's
not true.
Podcast.
Don't listen to them. I disagree.
I think that should be the mission statement of this podcast, is to take podcast listeners and podcast connoisseurs and turn them off of podcasts.
Is that what we're doing? Is that the message
That's
we're spreading?
That's the goal here. I wanna do an activity. I wanna do
okay.
this little activity. I promise it's not a mid-90s rap.
Okay.
I want the Lord. I want to just to kind of because I think this is sort of a theater of cruelty that we're doing. We lure them in with a little bit of conversation
this
and we
is
do
also
something
like theater of the absurd.
Yeah,
as well.
I think something that they don't like.
And you know, when we're playing games, it's theater of the mind.
Yeah, see, it's something
that's
they
true.
Like. I want 30 seconds of absolute silence starting now.
I think that's good. I actually physically jumped because I didn't know what he was doing. I was so focused on coloring Randall that I just I wasn't looking at Justin, and oh, you're so dead for that.
See,
one.
See, that's the thing. Constant vigilance.
Mad-Eye Moody. JK Rowling, if you're listening to this and want to sponsor us.
If you haven't
Harry
read
Potter
and or
and
seen
the refreshing
Harry
ice cold Coca-Cola.
Harry Potter and the refreshing taste of not dying every
Harry picked up the bottle of Coke and pocketed it.
For later.
Fun fact, I don't know if you know the story of Harry Potter and the pocketed it. So
I don't know if you know the story of Harry Potter and I don't care.
So you'll like this. You'll like this. This will be good. So J.K. Rowling wrote the book, right?
So she
we know her. We know that she wrote
it.
Yes,
we know her personally.
She met the guy that read the audiobook, wound up reading all 7 audiobooks.
Which one? Stephen Fry or Jim Dale?
Jim Dale.
Okay.
So she met Jim Dale after the first audiobook was done.
That's how you know I'm a nerd.
He had been the audiobook guy for, you know, Random House Audio, whoever published the books. Anyways, he was a pretty good noted guy, and he tells her after he read the book, she was like, "Oh, what'd you think?" He's like, "Well, you know, I don't think you're gonna, you know, it was all right. It was a cute book, you know, real condescending to her, and she didn't like the tone that he took." And while they were having their conversation, he was like, "Oh, and in your book, you said you wrote Harry took the stone and pocketed it. Can you avoid using that phrase? It's a very difficult phrase to read in an audiobook." Pocketed it. It's a
she
difficult
did it
thing
again,
to do.
Didn't she?
And
she put it
in every single book. Ladies and gentlemen, J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling's amazing.
J.K. Rowling, if you're listening to this, first of all, why?
Yeah, why are you listening to us, Joe? I'm so sorry.
Stop. Don't.
We love your books.
Don't
please
stop.
Don't listen to this.
If you're listening to this, like, awesome. Good
why
for you.
Why would she
you
be listening to us?
No, I'll support a lot of things.
But JK,
no.
Listening to this, no.
That's pretty bad.
I mean, Joe, I'm sorry.
It'd be unfortunate.
Look,
for
I think general
like
listeners is a pretty bad idea, let alone famous ones.
That was my whole thing. You had a thing you were gonna ask. You were gonna say.
She told me I couldn't do it. Oh wait, no, I had something else going off of Rudolph.
Wait, what were you not gonna do?
I was going to say something, but Lauren cut me off. I'm not saying it, because your kids might be listening to this.
No one fucking young who can't hear what we're piss balls talking about is going
to
shit brain hear what we're saying.
I was going to talk about Santa Claus.
Props to all the Jewish kids that never told their Christian friends about Santa Claus when they were kids.
True.
Hey.
So true.
Hey, everyone listening.
But here's the thing, Santa feels
Christian
so
or secular, whoever
Santa Claus
didn't
feels
know about,
so
about
commercialized
Santa Claus
nowadays. Like, I'm not a religious human being.
Santa
and
started.
I always believed in
Santa. Santa started as a commercial promotion.
Yeah, so it's like
Coca-Cola, Santa Claus. I'm not even joking on this. I know
was
I've been
Coca-Cola?
Pitching. Yeah, refreshing ice cold Coca-Cola. Founded the image of Santa Claus that
the
we know today.
The image of Santa Claus that we know today. Yes, the legend of Santa Claus. No. There was such a legend as Kris Kringle before that.
Yeah, but was he this jolly fat guy who drank Coca-Cola? No.
But were there polar bears wearing red scarves drinking Coca-Cola?
No.
No.
You ever been to the North Pole?
Save the polar bears, speaking about it.
Yes, there are.
Save the polar bears, because polar bears are wonderful.
Polar bears are wonderful.
Polar bears are wonderful.
They kind of look like they've been peed on.
Did you know that a polar bear's skin is black and its fur is clear?
I did. I think it's actually that kind of the translucency of the hairs that makes them look like they're like yellow snow. Have you ever seen like actual pictures of polar bears? Not like the Nat Geo pretty pictures, but like the videos that they get for like the bears look yellow. You know, they look like piss yellow.
They're cream colored.
they're piss yellow bears.
Well, did
Dear
you expect
Lord.
The sunlight to have no color effect on them?
Yes.
It's a warm colored light.
Yeah.
Because color temperature is a thing.
Let me ask you this. Is snow yellow?
That depends,
depends
on where you find
on
it.
Depends on where it is, Justin.
Because I'm telling you, if you're trying to say the yellowness of the polar bears isn't caused by the natural tone of the cells, and you think it's caused by
the
sun,
yeah.
Then I'm going to ask, if you think it's caused by the sun, why isn't the snow yellow?
Because snow isn't clear when it's all packed together.
You do know what snow is made of, right? made of ice.
I'm aware of that.
What is ice clear?
Yes.
All right.
But when you pack two crystals next to each other.
Do you know what ice is made of?
Water.
You know, is water clear?
That depends on where you get it from.
Oh, dear listener, I apologize.
You know what water's made of?
And this is like a tennis match. It goes back and forth.
Hydrogen
and
oxygen.
And
are either of those opaque?
No.
Are they colored yellow?
And no. Are as confused as I am.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
About how we got to this topic. You are not
alone,
listener.
It's the way that
it
refracts off the inside of the hair.
Name three.
Of what?
Hairs.
Yours, hers, and mine.
Oh! Bow, 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 bow.
Bet you wish you had a soundboard now, don't you?
Don't you pull it up. And you pulled it up.
You can stop that now.
Oh yeah, you got the headset on. You gotta worry about that. Don't worry, we'll cut it out in post.
Stop saying that. It's never gonna happen.
It's a bit. He's trying
gonna say
to
it
do.
Every episode. And
oh,
we're never
yes,
gonna
he
do
is.
It.
He's gonna say it every 10 minutes. Every single episode.
And we're never gonna do it. The day we cut something out of post is the day this podcast ends.
Oh.
Does that mean we're gonna wait till our final episode and then cut everything, or does that mean we're going to?
It means we're gonna cut everything, but hello and goodbye.
Hello. Thank you.
Thank you for watching the blah 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 blah.
For
blah.
Watching.
Exactly.
All right. While we're here, while we're coloring. We're gonna dig deep. We're gonna ask the tough
deep.
Questions. We're
okay.
gonna try and crank
I'm
some stuff out. We're gonna
I'm
solve racism.
Okay.
In America,
three white people.
Name three
racism.
Name
in America,
three white people.
Three white people are gonna try to solve racism in the United States.
Name three
racisms.
Yeah. Don't. Let's
no.
Let's not get there.
How about no, no, and no?
Let's
there we go. Oh my God, where
let's
are we?
Let's invent new stereotypes while we're here.
Let's not.
Or we can just not.
Asian people always know what time it is.
What?
He's inventing stereotypes.
I would actually go with theater techs always know what time it is.
That is
that's
true.
Is that,
but
I
that's
didn't
just, that's
know that
true.
Was a race. Are they from Theater Technia?
Yes.
No.
We have our own island.
We're from the shadows in the theater. We just emerge and then exist. I saw it coming.
You didn't.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
We're delightful.
Here, I want to know what other podcasts are getting recorded in here. I want to postulate.
That's
for
a great question.
There is a schedule on that computer over there.
We're
I
not
going to
search
that.
Through files. So
we are not
going to
look at
search
the schedule,
files, you can
but
do
also,
that.
Like, there's not. I don't think
people generally
the
just put their names on the schedule. And
yeah,
sure.
The name the name's just on the schedule. I'm pretty sure that.
And let's not read other
mine.
People's names off.
True, that'd be weird.
Kevin Barnes.
Oh,
David
we
McCormick.
Forgot about
yeah, we forgot to no.
Samwise over in the corner.
You mean Jeffrey De La Cruz?
No, yeah. Jeffrey De La Cruz was here last week. That's Samwise Marshall.
Silence,
guys. How could you forget his name?
We have to cut this out in post.
He tried to make a joke and. Didn't work. Well, I have this beautiful color.
Yeah, let's go. Let's check in. Let's check in on the coloring. Well, we checked in on you already. We'll come back to you. I promise.
Lauren, how are you
Lauren,
doing?
Lauren, tell us about your mermaid.
I've not gotten to the mermaids yet.
God.
I'm still
no
coloring
what, no what,
the canceling, ocean.
Canceling the mermaid.
Hey, the brunt of your picture is mermaid. Mine is mostly ocean.
Yeah, but mine's a black and white mermaid, so I'm done.
You can't hear it, but I'm rolling my eyes.
Oh, I could hear it.
Well, I've just finished coloring the water in the ocean.
Great. Some beautiful three-tone water going on. We've
it's
got
four-tone
water going on. If you listen closely, you can hear all the tones.
I knew it. I knew one of us was going to do something.
It was just not the one you expected, was it?
So I wanna, I wanna. There is something I do wanna.
That's the first time I've ever been able to do
something
that.
Something I do.
What did you just do?
We got 4 minutes left in the studio. And while we
probably
do,
clean up a little.
Yeah, while we do, before we go.
Okay.
My name is Justin, and I'm here to say
oh
we finished coloring in the usual way.
Okay, this we're cutting out. Right,
we're
go.
Not.
No.
Nope. Okay.
Nope,
well,
I can't.
I've been Lauren Holly, and I will continue to be for future episodes.
My name's Emma Catherine, and I will continue to be Emma Catherine. No, I'm not rapping. I am not rapping.
But we do have to do a softer. We can't just we can't harsh. We got 3 minutes left.
We have to clean up. We've been coloring.
That's true. But we can't.
There's things that we have to do that you don't know about.
We're
not training, mister.
We're being cruel to our audience, but we can't be that cruel that we're just going to hard out on them. No, give me 60 seconds.
Tune in next time.
Give me 60 seconds.
For the ill-conceived podcast.
Give me 60 seconds to do a soft out with these guys so we can just give them something to do.